The message you're about to listen to is brought to you by Pastor Henry Onyedikachi.
If we don't preach the gospel, we cannot expel darkness from the hearts of men. Woe is me if I preach not the gospel. I have a commitment. Necessity is laid on me. I have an assignment to preach the gospel.
Stay blessed.
Our Father, that wasn't just enjoying ourselves. That was we giving you praise. Thank you. Thank you for 2023 so far. Thank you for everything. Rain came. The storm came. But we've been strong. And this next 4 months will even be stronger. Thank you, because I know you will do much more. In Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, let's be seated. You should be full of gratitude this morning. And I am. Hallelujah. So maybe just power this a little more so that I wouldn't have to stretch my voice. So this morning, I'm not actually, let me use the word teaching as you know it, even though I'm going to be explaining the Bible. And that is still teaching. Amen. However, what I'll bring this morning will be to speak prophetically and say what God has asked me to say unto us. And what God wants me to say to you is very simple. He's doing a new thing. Hallelujah. Well, before we continue, you know, I would like to comment on a particular testimony, the second testimony that came this morning. You see, that's one of the best testimonies we've had in a long time. And the testimony was not that the person got the job. The testimony was that the person rejected the job. That's the testimony. I get what I'm talking about. Yeah. The rejection that is a testimony. Because like person that I listed, if person had taken the job and maybe paid, falsified figures, falsified his age, and then testified, we would have danced unto the Lord. Amen. You know, many things we say that God did, even God is not aware that he did it. We're just thanking him. Let me say this to you. If the only thing you call success or miracles are physical results, you don't yet know God. The greatest change is not change in your finance. The greatest change is change in your life. Are you getting the point? And the beautiful thing about that testimony is the fact that there was an offer on the table. And the person said in testimony, said it's not been up to 2 months. They started worshiping here. But within that 2 months, that's a very heavy decision. I get in the point. And you say, so what was now the testimony? The testimony is that it has finished. The testimony has finished. You know, some of you would have wanted to hear that after I refused to falsify my age and stood for the Lord, and now the next day I now got 10 million. No, the testimony has finished. But will something better come for that person? The answer is yes. Never accept the devil's compromise. Never. Never accept. Because the thing is, when you accept the devil's compromise, you will actually think you are doing well. What I always say to you is, you really don't know what would have become of you if you didn't accept that compromise. Are you getting the point? Because I tell you what, if Satan is giving you an Ishmael, hold on, your Isaac will stay calm. So don't accept the Ishmael. And many of you don't understand the testimony until you get into the labor market. Person said he finished NYSC since 2017. That's how many years now? That's 6 years, right? Anything that will make the person say no to such a thing is God. And I'm going to say to that person 2 things. Number one, in the next 2 to 3 weeks, you're going to hear something that will make you thank God that you rejected that job. That's the first thing. There is something fishy. It's not even a prayer. I'm just telling you by the Spirit. There's something fishy about the offer. You will hear it in the next 2 to 3 weeks. And you will still come and tell us when you hear it. Then number two is that God has a bigger plan for you. And sometimes Satan never brings an alternative if he's not aware that the real thing is coming. I get to the point. Satan knew an Isaac was coming before he proposed for an Ishmael. But I tell you something, something better is going to come for you. So I was excited at that testimony, you know, very, very excited. Amen. I said, amen. That's a great testimony. You know, a lady could go and sleep with a guy and then collect 500,000. I come and testify, the Lord has been good to me. Just this day, I'm just meeting him for the first time. Like, we've not known from anywhere, just sent me money and we danced unto the Lord. Even God knows that we didn't do that. But you know, the better testimony would have been, sir, I was in dire need of cash. I didn't even have money to go home. And a man offered me 500K on the platform of compromise and I rejected it. That's the testimony. Yeah. What it means is that you've allowed the life of Christ in you to gain dominance. You know, some of you, and I'm saying this to all of you, this is not my topic to teaching today, but all of you, no whatever field you are, there are opportunities for compromise. Any field. Opportunities for compromise will always come. It will always come. And so you must learn that the testimony is not that you got money. Sometimes testimony is that you rejected money. And can I say this to some of you, ladies especially, because I just talked about receiving gifts now and, you know, somebody may feel like, but that's, I didn't do anything with the person. Listen, it's not every gift that should be received. There are gifts that you must reject. Male, female, even ministers, I teach you this. There was nothing wrong with receiving things from a person you pray for. But you see, Elisha rejected Naaman's gift. And Gehazi collected leprosy because of Naaman's gift. I get to the point. Every gift is not for collecting. It's not every gift to collect. There are gifts that people use to put you in bondage. There are gifts that people give to you to hold you down. And you remain indebted to them for life. Are you following what I'm saying? For life. And that's why if a lady here and the guy is saying, I love you, I want to marry you, and you know you don't love the person, and the person is offering to pay your school fees and buy you things, reject it. Says, how will I not pay my school fees? Please reject it. Because two things are going to come out. It never ends well. Never. Either you leave the person maybe after 4 years of paying your school fees, and then you're all over internet as a very wicked person. And indeed you are. Are you getting the point? Or you just, you know, should I speak Igbo now? Okay, let me leave this. I'll say it in Igbo. Ndi Igbo sina. Many people will end up marrying that very person because after all, he has done so much for me, I cannot tell it. So you're not getting into a very bad. It never ends well. And it's just because of a bad gift you collected. So whether you say you're no more doing along the line, you are still wicked. Very, very. If you now get in, say, because I've collected so much from him, you are now wicked to yourself. So it never ends well. Are you getting what I'm talking about? Every gift, even in business. I give another example. Abraham, he went for battle, came back, and he helped some nations to fight. They offered him something. He said, I will not collect it. He said, lest tomorrow you say I made Abraham rich. There are gifts that people give you to take the glory of God in your life. Are you what I'm talking about? To take the glory that is due God in your life. So the person gives you, and has someone ever given you 15,000? And every day he's talking about how he trained you through school. So when he was in school, he was suffering. I used to send him money. And you said, if you know it's 2.5 cents. You know, but you can't say it doesn't send you money. And you cannot say, it's not just 2.5 cents, but you'll be an ingrate. Is that not true? You say, so you're very ungrateful, so you can't say it. You just stand one place. In your mind, you know you sent 2.5. But you'll be telling people, you know, born of school, I ain't actually aka. It's not every gift you collect, sir. Amma. Amen. There are offers people make you that are not to, those offers are to destroy your life. And I've long learned this in ministry. You get the point? People sometimes, I know and say this under God. People have called from nowhere, send the account number, and the Holy Ghost said, don't send it, and that's the end. As soon as they keep discovering, send the account number, no, I say, don't worry, I'll play you, play around, I will not send it to you. Sometimes I don't even know the reason. But every gift is not for collecting. And sometimes these offers come where you need cash. And if you have 1 million in your account or 10 million, and they say, send the account number, you say that I'm not going to send, I'm trusting the Lord. But when you are really dry, and they say, send the account number, for you not to send it, something is talking to you. And that's talking to you strong. Are you following me, someone? So everything you collect. A brother enters a relationship with a girl that is seemingly very rich. And then he doesn't have sense. He throws away his respect and everything that he holds there. Begins to collect from the girl. Begins to everything. You know what? He's going to lose that relationship. Eventually, he's going to lose his esteem as a man. I get what I'm talking about. I had a case like that just somewhere around me. You know, because the girl's family was wealthy and all that, the guy kept collecting. Even was the girl's father that paid for a house for him. It was the girl's father that, you know, those kind of things that paid for her, that even got them a car. And he was enjoying. At first, it was so sweet. My mind, I said, this boy is very foolish. And when he played out, I was a witness. Again, if you're very close to me, you know what I'm talking about. When he played out, well, just one morning, the man came with police, came with everything. The guy had run from his house around 4:30 or 5 in the morning because he had a quarrel with the wife. Well, I'm not trying to say the guy is a good person. He's actually a very foolish boy. Because after collecting that kind of money, you cannot quarrel with a woman like that. Don't quarrel. Did you hear what I said? Just stay calm. Anything you say is fine. If you quarrel, you're very foolish. It's not every gift. You know, there is something about getting married to a very rich family, but you're doing a decent job. And then I'm making you offer. You say, sir, thank you. Thank God for everything you're doing for us. But this is how we want to run our wedding. This is how much we'll have. This is what we want to spend for it. You know what you're retaining? Your prestige. Are you getting points? What led me to that this morning? Every gift should not be collected. I'm telling you for free. In ministry, in living in your place of work, there are gifts that come as innocent gifts, but are bribes. How do you get a point? The type you used to do when you were in the university, some of you. Yeah, I'm talking to you. So there's this course you want to pass, but if you go to lecturer and say, I want to sort you, he will now say, I want to appreciate you. You yourself know what you are doing. All of us are not appreciating nothing. You love him. Why? You don't used to attend his class. You don't want to appreciate him. Why? You know those kind of gifts. Says, and as all those lecturers, you know what happens is students know what they're doing. When they keep doing that, I want to appreciate you. So they bring money. Tomorrow they bring that. They go home. They bring rice. They gradually is affecting your will. You can't be that strong to say no. If somebody has to give you a bag of rice, tomato and everything, you can't fail the person. No. Yeah, you can't. You are not strong enough to fail the person. The worst person can get is a D. And verse CF. Because if you collected tomato, if you collected rice, and you ate it, that's the problem. I wish you didn't eat it. You know, and there are gifts you don't accept. And it's something I've learned. That's why I taught you on contentment. You remember that? So that's the content. You don't have to have everything. There are things that come to you say no. No. And that's why, talking about marriage again, that's why many ladies are not still married today. Because you meet a guy the first time, in the first 1 week, that week is your birthday, suddenly. That week your father is sick. That week your mother is in the hospital. You know what is happening? You have eaten your tomorrow today. So what, the guy may give you the money, but what comes to him in the list, this girl is just all about the money. What about not talking about your niece? Every gift should not be collected. At least, even if you are a gold digger, plan it well. Come on, if you're a gold digger, don't start from the first day. Wait, give like 1 year, be saying, no, it's fine. I'm not really after the money. Then after like 1 year, do you understand? I'm not. Don't take that seriously. That's a joke. But I'm saying some things are just very foolish. Every gift should not be collected. Hallelujah. Amen. So, very powerful testimony this morning. Know how to say no. It takes a lot of maturity to say no to a good offer, seemingly good offer. Very mature, very strong maturity. And I tell you under God, I've had to say no to some things. For instance, when I learned the gospel, I started saying no to invitations and pulpits, big platforms. You know, as a minister doing full time, when you get invitations, they give honorarium. But when I learned the gospel, I learned to start saying, because every platform should not be for me now. I had to say no to friendships. I had to say no to networks. You know, you must learn to say no. You have must learn to say no to certain things. Amen. Anyway, I just want to say what God has put in my mind this morning. I will do a new thing. And at every point, God always has an agenda for every church and every people per time. The Bible tells us in 1 Chronicles 12 verse 32, concerning the children of Issachar, that they were men who had understanding of the time. Who had understanding of the time. What does that mean? They knew what Israel ought to do. Understanding of the times. They knew what Israel had to do at every time. And what that tells you is that for every city, for every nation, for every church, every people, there is something God has for them per time. Amen. And what he usually does is that he communicates that agenda to the leadership of the church, to the pastor, he brings it to them. And I can tell you in this season, God is telling us he is doing a new thing in our midst. And in this season, begin to expect new things to come for you. And I'd like you to know that this is a very prophetic service. So half of what I'm going to say will be prayers. So you must be ready to receive. Amen. So God wants to do a new thing and you must be ready to be part of it. So he said, I'm doing a new thing. You know, the scripture, this, I was in Abakiliki last weekend when that word just came. I was just praying. The Lord said, tell the church, I will do a new thing. So I will use that to charge you up this morning and to prepare you because the next 4 months will be the best. And God is going to do new things in our midst. And the way the Lord said it to me when I was in Abakiliki, he said, the rest of the year will be the best of the year. The rest of this year will be the best of this year. And God will begin doing new things in our midst as we progress from now. And these new things that he's doing will cut across every part of your life. It won't just be your spiritual life. It will enter your finances. It will enter your health. It will enter the church. It will cut across everywhere. So get set for new things. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Have your seat. So God is doing a new thing. In Isaiah chapter 43 and verse 18, and that's exactly where this word came from. However, I should let you know that the context of this scripture is actually Christ, the New Testament, the new creation. However, that's not how we're going to use it this morning. I taught you when I was teaching you on Bible study, that was lessons in Bible study, that every verse has one context, has one meaning. Amen. But every verse can have different applications. Remember I told you that? Are you getting what I'm saying? And in fact, if you doubt that, then you shouldn't be reading the Bible. Because the context of maybe the book of Romans was not you. The context was the church in Rome. Do you get what I'm talking about? The context of the book of Corinthians. In fact, Corinthians was more specific. It was written to address certain issues. That's the context. However, we can apply it to us because the application works. Because first, we are Gentiles, they were Gentiles. Two, we are believers, they are believers. If the church, we are the church. I get the point. So we can apply it today. So I'm going to just take this because, oh God, do I have time to talk about this? God will help us. If you read the book of the prophets, one way you understand about the prophets is the message he sent to them carried a particular meaning contextually for them. However, by application, it will carry more for us. I give an example. During the fire, I was teaching us on Babylon. You remember that? And there was this scripture we read that said, Babylon the Great has fallen. Speak a word against Babylon. Actually, contextually, it was talking about a physical Babylon. Do you remember that? But by the time we now get to the New Testament, we find even John quoting that same scripture in Revelation. That Babylon will fall. And at that time, there was no longer a nation called Babylon. But John was still quoting that particular scripture about the fall of Babylon. I get what I'm talking about. Meaning that scripture now has another spiritual connotation now. I get what I'm talking about. What example should I use for you now? If you read the Bible, Cain was someone that existed. Cain. We know Cain had a very bad heart. We know everything that happened. But the New Testament will now begin to talk about the way of Cain. I began to talk about Cain no longer just as a person, but maybe as a lifestyle, as a pattern, or even as a spirit. Are you what I'm talking about? Now, I'm saying all of this to see if you don't understand this. Get that teaching I did on lessons in Bible study. That actually what this Isaiah 43 is talking about contextually is that God is doing a new thing. The new thing he was talking about in this context was actually the coming of Christ. That's the truth. But then when the Lord spoke to me last weekend to say, I will do a new thing, he was not referring to Christ coming. So I'll just read this verse, how it appeared, and then we'll flow from there. Is that okay? He said, remember ye not the former things, neither consider the things of old. Continue. For I am the Lord thy God. How did you jump to verse 3? Verse 19. 18 said, remember not the former things. Then verse 19, he said, behold, I will do a new thing. He said, now it shall spring forth. He said, shall you not know it? I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. Continue, verse 20. The beasts of the field shall honor me, the dragons and the owls, because I give waters in the wilderness and rivers in the desert to give drink to my people, my chosen. He said, these people have I found for myself. They shall shoot forth my praise. So I'll just begin to share with us this morning, as God put in my heart, that he wants to do a new thing. That's what he wants to do in our midst. And like I've taught you something about God, that whenever God does a new thing, whatever new thing he does is always better than what he has done before. And it's something you must have noticed if you study God very closely. For instance, if you check Habakkuk chapter 2, chapter 2 and verse 9, when God was talking about the building of a new temple, he gave the point. He said, the glory of this latter house shall be greater than that of the former. And the latter house was talking about here is also the New Testament. He said, the glory of this New Testament will be greater than the Testament that has existed in the past. And I tell you, whenever God wants to do a thing, he says, why is he talking about salvation and New Testament? Are you using those teachers another thing? Like, let me explain something to you. I've shown you something. Salvation is a pattern. Have I taught you that? Listen, please pay attention. The way things play out in salvation is actually how, in fact, in salvation, you find God's true character. For instance, how do we receive salvation? By faith, Abi. How do you receive every other thing from God? How do you receive healing? Prosperity? By faith. So there is a pattern there. You get the point? What did we do to receive salvation? Nothing. So it's a free gift. That is what we find in Christ. I didn't get the point. So when you see, what we see in salvation sometimes is a pattern for how God behaves, how God acts. So we see that in salvation, in what God would do in Christ, he said there's a new house he will build that will be better than the old house. And I'm showing you that from this pattern we can see that whenever God does a new thing for a people, the new thing he does is always better than the previous thing that has existed. For instance, when Jesus in John chapter 2 went for a wedding in Cana, Galilee, Bible said he provided wine. You remember that? Their wine got exhausted and he provided a new wine. And when they had drank that new one, what did they say? They say, you guys should have brought this one earlier. It even tastes better than the one we had before. And that's the pattern of the thing that God does. And that's why when the Lord said to me, I'll do a new thing, I got very excited. Because I know that whatever new thing he wants to do will be better than everything we've ever received. And that's God's pattern. If God said, I will give you a new this, just bear in mind that whatever new thing he will bring will be better than the old thing that you've ever had. And what I'm telling you is very comforting. It should be very comforting for you. That's why when you lose things, you don't cry like someone who doesn't have hope. Because when the Lord wants to bring that thing afresh, he brings something better. Are you guys following me, someone? You know, the Bible tells us in the book of Job, of course, we know the story of Job, and I would have quoted it, but I want to read it out for you. Because it's exciting. Job 42, verse 10. Everybody, please look at the screen. Job 42, verse 10. The Lord turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends. Also, the Lord gave Job what? Twice as much as he had before. When the Lord restores, when he does something new, he doesn't return to where he used to be. He does something better. Are you guys following me this morning? You know, God did something in creation. Satan scattered what God did in creation. Are you following me? When God was to redo what he did in creation in Christ, he didn't return us to where Adam was. He gave us something better than Eden. Who has, you remember that message? It's a long time now, better than Eden. When he wants to do something new, he doesn't give you what you used to have. He gives you something better. And that's why I want you to know that whatever thing you've had in your life till now, God will do something better than that. And I'd like to say that again. Something better. Something better.
And you see, and that's why you notice when he wanted to talk, when he wanted to say what he said in Isaiah 43 verse 19, he started in verse 18. The first thing he said, remember not the former things. Yeah, that's the first thing. Remember not the former things. Because God wants to do something new. Now, these former things will include, I'm running ahead of myself, but it's okay. These former things will include the failures of the past. The things that have not worked in the past. The contrast that you lost in the past. The relationships that you lost in the past. The money you lost in the past. The spiritual failures you recorded in the past. Because this new thing God wants to do, it will come in three different phases. One, he's doing a new thing in our church. As a church family. Amen? A new thing in our church. And there are a few, one of the things that this new thing will characterize in church, there will be rapid increase. Then another thing I took bring about is the rise of quality men. That's what I had in my spirit. Rise of quality men, trained men, strong men for the church. When I mean quality, I mean people that have been trained to stand strong in the will of God. Another thing is going to bring multiplied resources. And that's what will come in this new thing that God is doing. So first he will do a new thing for our church. Then he will do a new thing in your own walk with God. Many of you in this new season will begin to see mighty, mighty results. The things you couldn't do before, you find yourself doing them again. Some prayer lives are going to skyrocket in this season. Study life will skyrocket in this season. You will be able to work miracles like you've never seen. Things of spirit will be flown in very smoothly. It's one of the new things that God is doing in this season. Such that if you used to have a struggle with any prophetic flow, it will now become easier in these new days. So there will be a new thing in the area of your spiritual work. And I also add, there will be a new thing that God will do in your life generally. Multiplied resource. In your finances, in your family, in your job, in your relationship. A new thing. So this new thing will cut across the church, from the church to my spiritual life. From my spiritual life to every other area of my life. And that's why I'm telling you this morning, remember not the former things. Remember not the things that have not worked in the church. Maybe in your center, you've done evangelism, but things and people are not coming as you expected. Remember not the former things. It's a new season now. Are you following me, someone? Maybe your spiritual life, you've tried to do certain things for God, but it's proven difficult or you've even failed. Remember not the former things now. Or maybe your academics, you thought you were going to have whatever last semester and then it came out as whatever. Remember not the former things. Remember not the former things. It's something you should learn. Because if God wants to do a new thing for you, you can't keep looking back. If you keep looking back, you won't see what he's giving you in the future. So the first of the past, I can also add one other thing that God wants you to forget, for instance, is that he wants you to forget the successes of the past. Even the victories of the past. But forget first of all the failures of the past. How many of you know that the man you call Peter, who became the head of the apostles, once denied Jesus? He was so afraid that a small girl asked him, "Are you a follower of Jesus?" He said, "No." He even swore, "God forbid, if I know Jesus, let me die." That was Peter. But then the man later rose to become the head of the apostles. That's why you can't live your life dwelling on your mistakes. You can't live your life dwelling on your failures. You can't live your life dwelling on what has not worked. Because while you are focusing on what has not worked, you are losing sight of what is working currently today. Are you guys following me this morning? So Peter once denied Jesus. How many of you know that the man called Abraham, like we were looking at earlier today, the guy actually failed one certain time, compromised the standards, went to sleep with the maid Hagar, and had Ishmael. That was failure for such a spiritual man. But then if you've experienced that kind of failure, it's time to forget what you did in the past. How many of you know that a man called David once went into Uriah's wife, Bathsheba, and ended up killing Uriah? When God restored him and wanted to do a new thing in his life, not only did God sustain his ministry and his kingship, it was that Bathsheba that later gave him a son called Solomon. When God wants to do a new thing, he must forget what happened in the past. So there you are complaining, He stole somebody's wife. It was from that wife he stole that God gave him his hair. Are you guys following me this morning? How many of you know that in the book of Judges chapter 20 that the Israelites went to fight a battle? All of them, they waited upon the Lord. They prayed and the Lord said, go. And they went for that battle and they lost. They came back again and asked the Lord, what happened? The Lord said, go again. They went back and they lost. They went the third time, they lost again. Are you getting me, someone? And eventually they went again and they won. There are reasons for that. But I'd like you to know, whatever be the reason why you've lost a battle, it's time to forget the failures of the past. You can't remain there. You want to preach to somebody, the person did not even give you audience. It's like when you are preaching, nobody understands what they are saying. It's time to forget the failures of the past. Are you following me, someone? You know, some people have not been able to pray for the sick today and raise the dead and heal the sick. You know why? Because they still have a picture in their head of one sick person they went to pray for last year that did not work. And Satan keeps presenting that failure before them. So the next time you appear before a person to pray for the person, you remember, the other one did not work. So instead of praying, you advise. Trust God, oh? He will do it. Okay, Mia, there's nothing impossible with him. Okay, pray. Or maybe not, you normally used to be, you just pray, the name of just be healed. I tell you, by this time tomorrow, you'll be fine. But now, when you pray, you also do medical services. Say, it's fine. I even go. By paracetamol. Where did your faith fly to? Because you are remembering the failures of the past. Something that did not work. It's time to forget those things. Are you guys following me? So I've applied for 7 jobs. All of them turned me down. It's time to forget. Remember not the former things. Sit for a moment. Remember not the former things. Remember not the former things. Remember not the former things. I started this business last year, sir. And everything crumbled and came to nothing. Let's remember not the former things. Remember, forget about those things that has happened. For God is doing a new thing now. Are you guys following me? I also said you have to forget the successes of the past. Sometimes you have to forget the victories of the past. Because actually, the context of Isaiah 43 verse 18, where he told them to remember not the former things, he wasn't actually talking about failure. He was talking about victories. Go to verse 16, Isaiah 43 verse 16. What do you think he told them to forget? I will show you. Isaiah 43 16. Look at the screen. Hallelujah. Thus said the Lord, which maketh a way in the sea. Remember when he made a way in the sea for them? That was the Red Sea. And a path in the mighty waters. You remember that? They went through the Red Sea. They went through River Jordan. God made a way for them. Which bringeth forth the chariot and horse, the army and the power, and they shall lie down together. They shall not rise. They are extinct. They are quenched as stone. That's what the Lord has done for them in the past. Remember ye not the former things. All the miracles I've given you is time. Put them at the back. You know why? That doesn't mean you don't look back to them and thank God for them. It's because something better is going to come. Yeah. And when something better comes, what you had in the past will look like a joke. And I strongly believe that God is going to give you a miracle. Such that the things you had in your life in the past will look like a joke to you. Such that the testimonies you shared in the past will not sound like a joke to you. And I tell you, God has given me that miracle. I've seen it many times. Sometimes I listen to my old messages and I hear myself share some testimonies and I just say, wow. So this was a testimony at a time. Are you getting the point? You know, and that's why you thank God every process on the way. So that when you look back, you say, wow, see where we've come from. Are you getting me, someone? See where we've come from. Don't get so attached to what has happened in the past. Something better is going to come now. Amen. Such that in the past, you thank God for being able to rent a flat. But you see, what God will do for you after now, it will not be a story of rentals. You will now begin to get into the phase of ownership. Yeah, because when that happens, you know, imagine 2 years ago, you were testifying, you know, God is faithful. Ah, God is faithful. Do you know I rented a one bedroom flat? God is good. And then, maybe imagine someone records that. And 2 years after, you've been able to buy a house. When you now hear that test, you'll be like, glory to God. Remember the first day, remember the brother that gave testimony this morning, he said, for the first time, I was able to preach to someone. For the first time since I was born, preach to total stranger I don't know. That's a testimony today. But when God is done with him, that will no longer be the testimony. It will now be, I got into a hospital. I preached to everyone. I emptied the ward. Everybody went home. They were saved. They were healed. That's what I'm talking about. God does something better. So don't just get stuck on what has happened in the past. Something better is now going to come. Are you following me, someone? So he said, forget. Remember not the former things. Remember not the former things. The things that have happened. For God is now doing a new thing. And you see, why are you doing this teaching this morning? I will show you. See the next verse. Power this mic a little. See the next verse. Read it to me, everybody. Stop. Read it again. Stop. Read it again. Stop. Read it again. What does it mean to behold? To see. Because before the new thing God will do in your life come, you have to behold. You see why he asked them? He said, shall you not know it? He said, can't you see? Because the point is, if you can't see what God wants to do for you, you cannot have what he's giving you. So it's time to stop looking back and look forward. I'd like you to behold. Well, and that's why when I teach on imagination a lot. I tell you, right? That's why you waste your imagination. I now mean, the imagination won't wound me. Well, I can tell you that I've imagined many things in my life and I'm living in those things today. Because in my imagination, I create where I want to be. I've imagined where I am today. What I do in my imagination, I don't just pick up vain things and I imagine them. I look for what God is saying he's going to do for me. And I get into that place in my imagination. And I live in that realm in my imagination. That when I finally walk into it in the physical, it will now be like a spiritual deja vu. I come in and I say, I've been here before. I've touched this before. Are you following me, someone? I can tell you. You know what deja vu is? When you get to a place and someone is telling you, it's like this has happened before. Are you getting the point? Oh, glory to God. You know, one day you are going to dance. And when you are dancing around what God has given you, you will remember that there was a day you danced this same dance when it was not there. I'm telling you, and I've done that. Do you know, let me give you an example. Before I ever had a car in my life, I used to imagine myself driving and listening to messages and dancing and playing songs. All those things I imagined, that was in my car, I was driving, I was listening to messages. I remember when I was in my room, imagine, that was as far back as 2014. Imagining myself playing song, nodding my head. Yeah. Glory to God. And I've walked into it. And same thing with church. Before our church ever got to where it is today, I've imagined myself preaching. When we didn't have a crowd, when we had only 10 people, I've imagined myself talking to hundreds of people. Because God has shown me. He said, behold, I will do a new thing. Just see. Stop looking back. I always teach you, don't drive your car using your rear view mirror. You can't be driving your car using that mirror you're using to see your back. You just focus your eye, then you are moving. Okay, you're going to crash. If you're going to use your rear view mirror, then you're about to go backwards. Oh, I feel like saying that again. Every time you're looking at your rear view mirror, your attention is to go backwards. And that's what many of us keep doing. We keep looking back. Why are you not working today? You're still talking about the job that they pursued you from 2 years ago. Say, child, it's not fair. I put in my best. I was very committed. There was no reason why they should sack me. You are still there. It's time to move on, sir. Are you following me, somebody? It's time to move on. Say, child, I remember when I was balling. Say, sir, 2 years ago. Forget, oh. I ball, oh. And the point is, once you are there in your mind, you won't see the next thing God is showing you. Because you're still looking at what is past. Hallelujah. Something better is ahead of you. And that's the truth. And that's not just a way to encourage you. It's actually the truth of God's word. Something better. Sir, I lost a relationship 3 years ago. Why not in a relationship again now? Say, child. So you won't understand. Understand what? You know the problem? You're still looking back. You are still looking back. I used to tell you guys of that guy that Reverend Omar used to tell us about. Say, we wrote one name, okay. How are you, baby? And I actually. How are you, baby? I know why he always tells that story. He said the guy, as I think he was telling us, the lady that left him already has 3 kids. And he's still not married. Because he's still complaining. Chai, that girl. Also, won't you believe? And for real. It's time to stop looking back. Look forward. I feel like saying it again. Look forward. The Israelites, you are approaching Red Sea. Behind them was the Egyptians coming. And God told them, he said, tell the, and I like that, that's Exodus 14, verse, I think verse 14. He said, tell the Israelites to go forward. I can preach a full message on that. Now, look at this. Look at this. Behind them, there was problem. In front, there was problem. It's better you're moving to the problem ahead. I got the problem behind. God told them, go forward. Don't go backwards. Sister, but there's Red Sea in front. But there are Egyptians at the back. So if you go forward, there's a problem. If you go backward, there's a problem. So what will you do? Go forward. Are you following me, somebody? Go forward. Don't get stuck. Because I told you before, God is doing more in your future than Satan has done in your past. I want to say that again. God is doing more in my future than Satan has done in my past. I want to say it again. God is doing more in my future than Satan has done in my past. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. So go forward. Go forward. The way is not backwards. Just go forward. You're seeing verse, that's verse 15 actually, next verse. After he promised that the Lord will fight for them and keep their peace, then the Lord said unto Moses, wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel that they go forward. That's the way. Don't ever say, I don't know what to do. What to do is to be moving forward. Are you getting me, somebody? Have you lost this in the past? Go forward. So in the past there, I used to have money. Okay, you used to have money. You know, I get them before. Don't be property. It's time to go forward. Stop looking back and looking back and looking back. And the good thing is Satan is not in your front. He's behind. Whatever he has done to you is at your back. So just start moving forward. Now, if they had gone backward, they would have run into the Egyptians. But about going forward, they ran into Red Sea. Well, it divided. And you know there is something wrong with the Egyptians, with the Israelites. And that's the difference between Moses and the Israelites. Every time they go into trouble, you know what they do? They start looking back. Go to see verse 12 of this Exodus 14. Is it verse 12? Every time. Verse 11, first of all. Every time. And they said unto Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, has thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? Every time I in Egypt. The other thing they didn't have food to eat, they said, at least in Egypt, they had garlic and onions. Garlic and onions. Those guys were really suffering. They were suffering. Like, of all things they could remember, that's the best meal they had in Egypt. Was garlic and onions. But because they kept looking back, garlic and onions now looked so appetizing to them. Some of you, the things you had in the past, you thought were miracles. God is not started yet. But if you keep looking back, that thing in your past will look like heaven. Are you guys following me? Suddenly, garlic and onions made sense. Now, it's not the Greek word for garlic is garlic. It's not like there is another. Garlic is not, it's not a spiritual garlic. Garlic. How many of you have eaten garlic? You love it? In food, okay. Onions. Okay, so I feel like you eat onions raw. Don't greet me when you are done. Don't talk to me. Just after talking. Well, you can't eat onions. You are coming close to me. Says, I want to talk to you about something. Don't talk to me about anything. God has heard you. But it suddenly made so much sense. The problem is, they kept looking. Every time challenge comes, they think, oh, the pleasure in Egypt. What is even the pleasure in Egypt? They were working daily. They were slaves. At the time, they were killing all their kids that they gave birth to. But because they kept looking back, it made so much sense. I get what I'm talking about. It's just like someone that was suffering in the village. And then suddenly he or she decides to go to the city to go hustle. And then he comes to the city. And then 2 months or 3 months into living in the city, he begins to remember, I've not eaten tongue today. At least open a buy. Mommy would have cooked and given me. Hi. And it's a man talking. There is an age you get to as a man. If your mommy is still cooking and giving you, sir, you are not succeeding. Should I say it again? You may not like me, but I'm going to tell you. There's an age you get to. If mommy is still cooking and giving you, something is wrong. Fundamentally. Sit down, let me teach you. Sit down. Listen. Listen. And I'm very serious now. This is something that what led me to this, but I'll go that direction. This is something that the Jews have. It's one culture they have. There's an age you get to. They send you out from your father's house. Amen. So what age is that? I won't tell you anything. Police says they're approaching 25. Start warming up. And I'm saying it's not to ridicule you or to put you under pressure. Let me tell you, the earlier you start becoming responsible for yourself, the faster you will make it. Check everybody that leaves house early. They make it early. I'm talking to you. But then the guy comes to the city, 2 months, 3 months into staying in the city, he's not saying anything. He says, Kai, at least I'm going to buy it now. I would have eaten food. What is even the quality of that food you are eating in your house? Yeah. You know the soup. When we were growing up, life was very hard though. You know, there are soups that we ate growing up that has no name. It's just soup. If I tell you things, you will not understand. It is soup. Like, the only people that can make that soup is my mom and my sister. Only two of them. No other person can make it. They just know how they make it. I mean, sometimes it don't red. 8 p.m., 9 p.m., nothing still to eat. And then everybody's now lying down in funny ways. And then the next thing, mommy will just step outside, come back, and say, there is food. When you eat, you don't eat. He's asking whether you like it. You like it. Then someone will now leave house, and then because of few hardships, you begin to look back. At least if it's in my house, okay, go forward. Are you getting what I'm talking about? Go forward. Stop looking at what is in the past. You've gone past that. Just like relationships. When you see people, brothers and sisters, crying over a past relationship, 6 years they've not moved on, you will think that in that relationship, everything was fine. It's a lie, yo. Sometimes they were abused. Sometimes they were beaten. But you know, there is something about looking back that always makes you feel like what you left was heaven. Are you guys what I'm talking about? That's the truth. Sometimes nothing was good. Same thing about jobs. The guy was earning 70K, 80K, starting life, and then he lost the job. Okay, bad enough he lost the job. But then stop looking back and talking about that job as if you are earning 14 million. Okay? It was 80K you were earning. So start going forward. I know some things you lose in life are blessings in disguise. Someone loses a job of 100K and he's crying. And out of the tears, you know, he got into one small business that was just giving him up on no butter. He comes in with 5,000 every day, up on no butter. He thinks he's suffering because he doesn't have a job. He doesn't know that 5,000 times 30 days is 150,000. That he's even earning better than what he was earning before. And then that one at his own liberty. Stop looking back. Go forward. There is something forward. Go forward. Sir, what I'm seeing in front is not good. Well, what was in front of them was not good. It was Red Sea. But you know, even when they wanted to divide Jordan, you can imagine, you know, God is powerful. And to walk with God, you must walk by faith. Imagine you are Moses and God has told you to lead Israel and lead close to 3 million people on foot. And then you guys hit Red Sea. Even if they start bringing boats to move all of you, it will take, even if they gather, get 1,000 boats, and each boat can take 10 people. If each boat takes 10 people, you guys have just moved 10,000 people. Do you understand what I told you now? Yeah. So it will take how many days? Almost finish moving everybody. God paused everything and divided it for them. Now, if Moses has sat down thinking, like, you know, that's why sometimes when God talks to you, when you are sure God has spoken to you, stop trying to be logical. If you get logical with that movement, you won't make it. When Joshua was leading them, of course, Joshua had learned, he had seen Moses do it. When they go to the Jordan, he told them, all of us are going to enter this water. Jordan did not divide until they entered it. And that's how God works. So, let's see, they were still learning, they were still growing. So he divided the past. But when they met Jordan, Joshua told them, people carrying axe should get in. As they move, it will divide. Are you guys following me this morning? That's how to walk with God. It's instead of looking back, you look ahead. Something is ahead of you. And I'd like you to know specifically that in this next 4 months, something is ahead of you. Let's forget about all the 8 months, man. This year, we've seen Shege. Well, that's not me anyway. Maybe you. But I've really not seen Shege this year. Yes, but I've not done everything I wanted to do. Well, but you've done some things. So, look ahead. Because he said, behold. 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 That's Isaiah 43 verse 19. Behold. I will do a new thing. Every time I take note of every time the Bible says, behold, it means you have to see it. Just like when he was saying, whoever is in Christ, a new creature, all things are passed away. Behold, all things. You have to see what God is doing. Hallelujah. Behold. You know, I love NLT of this verse. He said, for I am about to do something new. What did he now say? See, I've already begun. He now said, do you not see it? Because you need to see it to have it. And I'd like you to begin to see that God has started something new. Begin to see it in your imagination. Begin to see it in the eyes of your spirit. Begin to see it in your heart. Something new has started. And I feel like God saying to me, I feel like saying to someone there, you see, he said, I've already begun. Whew. You see what he's talking about? I told you about the coming of Christ. At this point, they were still over 2,000 years away from the coming of Christ. And God said, I've already begun. Are you following me, somebody? When did God begin working out the coming of Christ? Long time ago. From the time he raised a Noah. From the time he raised an Abraham. From the time he raised a David. Are you guys following what I'm talking about? From the time he fought wars and preserved the nation of Israel. From the time he preserved the lineage of David. He already begun. And that's why you see in your life, stop saying things like nothing is working. God already started something. Come on. Let me touch your neighbor. Say, I follow you this morning. Talk to the person. Say, neighbor. Ask my sister. Say, what's your name? What's your name? What's your name? What's your name? Find out. Say, neighbor. Or call the person's name now. Say, that time, you think that nothing is happening. God already started something. You know, he said, see, I've already begun. So, as far as Israelites was concerned, nothing is happening because they don't want to have started. See, it wasn't either that they saw Jesus that things started happening. Things have been happening. God has been setting things in motion. You're praying for a job, God already started something. You didn't hear me this morning. You're praying for a new job, God already started something. You're praying for a car, God already. He said, Pastor, nothing is happening. God has started something. Oh, glory to God. He said, I've already begun. I've already begun. Oh, glory to God. Do you know, go back to verse 18. I love Message. It's been long I preached the Message Bible. Verse 18, Message Bible. Forget about what's happened. Don't keep going over old history. I want to say that to somebody. Don't keep going over old history. It all started in 1992. Oh, guys, okay now. I lost my dad when I was 2. And all my uncles took everything that belonged to us. My dad was a rich man. It's fine. You are still sick. Forget about what has happened. Don't keep going over all this street. What should you do? See verse 19. Be alert. Be present. I'm about to do something brand new. It's busting out. Hallelujah. It's busting out. He now said, don't you see it? There it is. Have you seen it, somebody? There it is. Close your eyes. Close your eyes. Literally. Have you closed your eyes? What do you see? God is doing a new thing. What do you see? What do you see in your finances? Close your eyes. What do you see in your health? Close your eyes. What do you see in your marriage? Close your eyes. What do you see in your home? I'm about to do a new thing. Don't you see it? It is bursting out. There it is. I'm making a road through the desert. Rivers in the badlands. Hallelujah. What do you see? Can you see something? Now rejoice to what you have just seen in the spirit. Hallelujah. He said, be alert and be present. I like be present. Don't think past. Think now. Think now. You failed an exam. Think now. You lost an admission. Think now. God is doing more in your present than the devil has done in your past. And I know it like I know my name. And that's why I don't cry so much over spilled milk. Sometimes people say I can be emotionless. Yeah. Sometimes they say I don't understand because things can go wrong. I feel bad. I can give you 3 days, no matter what it is. I'm out. See, how did you get yourself to be like that? There are scriptures that changed me. Every time something has gone wrong, God has started something new already. So instead of lying down thinking of, I lost the job one day, it's okay to cry, feel bad, you are human, Abi. 2 days, 3 days, 4 days, 1 week, 2 weeks, God already started something. But the problem is you've not seen it. God is doing something new. Glory to God. I say glory to God. That's it for a moment. You must behold it. You must be aware. And verse 21 said it. It said praises. You cause praise to burst forth. Hallelujah. Verse 21. Verse 21. Hallelujah. He said the people I made especially for myself, a people custom made to praise me. This will cause you to praise God. It will cause you to praise God. What is doing? So like I already said, forget the past. Again, I'm going to say, go over the promises that God has made you. You see, don't ever forget the things that God has said to you. Because if you think it has not worked, God is starting something new. Or I say he has started something new already. So go over the miracles of the past. Go over the prophecies rather that he gave you. The prophecies, the miracles. You know, when God promised Abraham a child, someone needs to hear this. And that was in Genesis chapter 12. God told him, you're going to have a son. Up until Genesis chapter 17, he didn't have a child already. Then in Genesis 17 and verse 15, he had another encounter with God. Genesis 17 verse 15. And God said to him, he said, as for Sarah thy wife, thou shalt not call her Sarai, but Sarah shall be her name. Continue, shall her name be. I will bless her and give thee a son also of her. The point is, what God was telling Abraham here, this wasn't the first time. The first time he actually spoke to him was in Genesis 12. So why was he saying it again? He actually came to remind Abraham again. And some of you, what God is doing this morning is to remind you of all the promises he has made you. To tell you, I have not forgotten. Are you following me? to say to you, you think it's taking time? I've not forgotten. It's still on my mind. I promised I'm still going to do it. So go over everything God has told you. He wants to do them. He wants to exceed the things he has told you. And you know, something I've learned about God, every time God talks to me, I know whatever he's telling me that he will do, I know he will exceed it. Let me tell you why I know. Because the things that God tells me in my spirit, I receive them in my mind. And my mind has limitations. Do you understand? Because my mind has limitations, everything I know can... You know, you can't know... Your mind is limited by what you know and what you've exposed it to. Amen. Let me talk about money now. If God walks up to a man, I've used this many times, to a guy in the village and says, I'll make you... Maybe a guy that has never seen money. Maybe the highest money he has ever touched is 10K. And God said, I will make you rich. And then somebody says, describe what God is going to give you. He will say, Kai, I will just get 1 million. 1 million. God said, he'll give me 1 million. And I'll buy a bike. And then, Kai, if you this 2-bedroom flat, chara-chara, body. What is happening to him? His mind is the limitation. That's not what God is promising him. But that is all he can see. What God actually wants to do for him is bigger than that thing. But in the realm of his... I get what I'm talking about. What he knows, that's the only thing he can see. Saying, Fugodi, child. What he doesn't know is that 1 million today is not like 100,000. You know, do you remember when he used to say that if someone just gives you 3 million now, you will never be broke again? Some of you see, you still say it. I pray for you. You will not be broke. Amen. But that's just your limit. So whenever God is promising you things, that's what your mind can carry. It's not the day you touch the 1 million naira. You will now say, I want to buy land. Now get called the one really says guy that has been posting land and say, okay, I can't. Or something is telling you, you have arrived. Have you? And then he just arrives. Yeah, say, sir, what land do you want? Say, that's from KD Nakoko Independence layout. That's the one I want. He will say it's expensive. I say, go on, just call it. Then I take it to one small place. You know, there's one land we were looking at recently, just around there. Small plots, not up to. I think it's up to one or two plots. He says 80 million. I said, wow. God is faithful. Is he not? You know, when the church is starting, you go say, I'm going to make you rich. The person may be thinking, Kai, one day like this, we'll just have 2 million in our account. He doesn't know that that's not anything yet. So, because I know my mind has limitation. You know, when God says, I'll give you divine health, what some of us understand is just having small pains. That's not what God wants to do for you. He wants to bring you to a point where you'll not be sick at all. So every time God tells me something, whatever my mind conceives, I just know it's more than that thing my mind has conceived. Did you get what I'm talking to you about? He said, I will give you a good home. What your mind can conceive is a sweet man, a sweet marriage, where, you know, well, we'll just be, you know, God can give you a home where you guys can celebrate 10 years without any quarrel. There was no single day. Yes, we had our issues. There was no single day we slept and we're keeping malice. I get to the point. Some of you cannot say, is it possible? That's that thing I'm saying. It's the same thing. Is it possible? Can two people ever stay without ever keeping malice? Yourself, you know yourself. So you're using yourself to judge the matter. And I had Bishop Oyedepo one day say, I trained all my kids and I've never used cane in my house because I'm not raising animals. He said, oh, if they don't use cane, they will spoil. Well, that's not true. The kids did not spoil. All of them are doing ministry A to Z. Bishop, the assistant, the first son, Pastor David Oyedepo Jr., Pastor Isaac, all of them are doing ministry. Came me to ministry. They didn't spoil. Glory to God. So you can trust God for good children too. Children that will not give you headache. Not children that will carry you to pastor's office. Or pastor, help me and pray for this boy. If you don't keep, I didn't keep my mother. So I'd like you to know, whenever God makes you a promise, that thing you heard is what your mind could carry at the point. It's actually bigger than what he wants to give you. You know, he told Abraham, come and count the stars. As much stars as you can count, that's what the descendants will be. Well, that's what Abraham could see. Because how many stars did Abraham count that day? Even if Abraham counted a million stars, the descendants, which is men who are in Christ today, are over 3 billion. That is people that are alive currently. Not talking of people that have died. All of them were included in that promise God made Abraham. What Abraham could understand was what his mind could carry at the time. What God is telling you, what you are hearing, is actually not what God wants to give you. That's why he now says in Ephesians, he said, unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that you ask or think. So when you finish asking and thinking, that thing you thought, that big thing you thought in your mind, God has something bigger than it. Are you guys following me this morning? So that's why it's time to look ahead. Stop looking at the past. Say, if you know it, life was good then, life is going to be better. Are you guys following me, somebody? Look ahead. He wants to do a new thing. As a church family, we are looking ahead now. We've seen the sick healed. We will see much more of the sick being healed. We will see much more sick persons healed. And I love the testimony this morning. Someone that had, we don't know the name of the sickness, but needed surgery, pipes connected all over his body. Prayed and healing came. And this one is not healing that we say we know you are healed. Doctor discharged the person without surgery again. Now, but you know, better things are now coming. Are you getting the point? The dead raised. Glory to God. I say the dead raised. You know, Archbishop Benson, I don't want to say that for a moment. Archbishop was sharing a story. He said, I've told you guys that story. He said they went for a crusade somewhere. And, you know, in the course of the crusade, cripples you are walking, blind eyes you are opening, things you are happening. And then this woman came and met her. I met him. The son had no eyes, was born without eyes, not blind, born without eyes. No eye, just like that. That's terrible deformities. He said when he met, I just said, okay, don't worry, he's fine, and left. She said, throughout the crusade, that woman kept terrorizing him and the wife. Every time he sees the wife, say, tell your husband to give my son eyes. You know, what they do to men of God is bad. And Mama began to explain, you know, we've seen blind eyes see. But if he was blind, then Archbishop can just, but he has no eyes. First day, second day, third day, till the last day. Say the last day, the woman was already insisting, you guys will not leave tomorrow if you don't give my son eyes. Amen. So Archbishop said, and he was being very sincere. He said, I spoke to my wife. I said, what are we going to do? This woman is not going to let us go. So they had a plan. He said that once he says everybody should close their eyes and start praying and everything, he said, while they're closing their eyes, we'll run away. I'm not joking. That was the plan. Amen. You know why? They've never seen that type before. No eye sockets, nothing like just wow, face, we just did. So what are you expecting? That God will start creating? You know, the point is, their mind could not carry it because they've never seen it. Whatever you think God can do much more. Because what you think God can do, you are still in the realm of what you know. I get what I'm talking about. So he said, he just told the wife, once, you know, lift your hands and start praying and thank God. Everybody close up, pray and thank God. We'll run away. You know, he said, when they arrived the crusade, guess where the woman was standing? In front. With the son. Glory to God. He just looked at the wife like, we have entered today. He said, miracles began to happen. Death, yes, stopped. Everything was just happening. So it was supposed to be after the miracle, they will now say, everybody close your eyes and pray, and then we move. Smart move. See, in the course of the whole thing, suddenly they heard the woman started shouting. And they said, they looked at her. So do you know what happened? Eye sockets came out. Eyes were formed. Brand new eyes. Archbishop said in that testimony, he said, this one is not me. I didn't even believe for it. I didn't get the point. He said, I didn't even believe. Because he said, I have it on my phone, he said, that's why sometimes miracles is not about the man of God. For some reason, that woman believed that the son could have eyes. But who created eyes in the first place? Who created the human body? Who created everything? It's God. So he said, immediately the woman started shouting. So all of them started dancing, oh, glory to God. So the escape plan has failed. There's no need again. God will exceed our expectations in this church. We are going to see amazing miracles. I said we will see amazing miracles. We've seen salvation of men in hundreds, but now we are getting into thousands. We've seen men trained in hundreds. Now we are about to see them in thousands, in tens of thousands. Quality men raised, following, raised as ministers. That's the time we are getting into. In the name of Jesus. And I like every center, and tell from PG Enugu Center, get set for increase. You didn't hear that? Get set for increase now. Get set, because many more things are going to come now. Hallelujah. So go over all the promises God made you. Go over all of them. Sit for a moment. We're going to close to surely. So as you're going through all of them, decide that I'm going to experience all of God's promises. I've taught you, learn how sometimes to be stubborn with things God tells you. If God tells you, I'm going to give you this, hold on and be stubborn. I'm not going to stop until I see it. You know, I love his scripture, Luke chapter 2 and verse 28. And that's the story of Simeon. God had promised him that he will not die until he sees Jesus. And so every day he will come to the temple. And that day Jesus came, the Bible said he took him up by his hand and blessed God and said, Lord, let thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word, for my eyes have seen thy salvation. He said, okay, God, I can now go. So the guy held himself back from dying until he sees what God promised him that he will see. I love that heart. That when God has promised me something, I'm not going to sleep on it. I'm not going to say, okay, fine, it's okay. It will never be okay until I have it. Then he carried Jesus and said, okay, Father, now let your servant now die. In other words, I can imagine him telling God, I'm not going to die until I see Jesus. So if it takes 100 more years for Jesus to come, I'm going to live 100 more years until Jesus was born. So for now, my eyes have seen thy salvation. That's the kind of heart you have. Where you refuse to quit on God. The Bible tells us in Romans chapter 4 that Abraham was strong in faith. That's Romans chapter 4 verse 18. He said, be not weak in faith. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. That's verse 19, 20, 21. Be not weak in faith. He considered his own body now dead when he was about 100 years old. Verse 20. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith. So whatever God has told you, be strong in faith. Because a new thing is coming. So I put it in my note, I said, don't quit on God. Don't stop. I've taught you, it is very foolish for God to tell you something, and then you take like, it lasts for like 1 year, and when it looks like it has failed, and then you say, oh, it did not work, and you walk out. You're quitting on God. You're quitting on your order. God's not started with you yet. He has not. Don't wait on God. And as I close, I want to say, like I already said, break the camp and advance. Start moving forward. Start moving forward. And I've heard this in the spirit. In Deuteronomy chapter 1 and verse 6, the Israelites, you are gathered at a spot. They've been there for long. And I like what God told them. And that's what God wants to tell some of you. The Lord our God spoke to us in Horeb, saying, you have dwelt long enough in this mount. You know, some of us, Horeb actually was not a bad place. Wasn't a bad place. But they stayed there for so long. Some of you have stayed so long in this level. It's time to change levels. So you've dwelt so long long enough in this mount. What did he tell them in verse 7? Turn you and make your journey and go to the mount of Amorites. Say, start moving forward. Start moving forward. Hallelujah. Start moving forward. It's time to break your camp and begin to advance. You refuse to be discouraged. And some of you had projects that you abandoned. It's time to pick them up again. Some people are even tired. They don't even apply for jobs again because they've applied. It did not work. Oh yeah. Break camp now and advance. You've stayed for so long. Are you following me, somebody? So I'm not even trying to find. It's time to pick up again. Break camp and advance. You refuse to be discouraged. Because you know, the Bible tells us in Job chapter 14, verse 7. Say there is hope. Oh, glory to God. Job 14, verse 7. Glory to God. Break camp and advance. For there is hope of a tree. If it be cut down, that it will sprout again, and that the tender branch thereof will not cease. He said, even if a tree has been cut down, we say there is hope that it will sprout again. There is hope. So everything has scattered. There is hope of a tree if the branch be cut down. Oh, somebody dies, and the person that died was your sponsor. Well, it's time to stand up and begin moving again. Because I've taught you, when God makes promises, he doesn't give you names. You didn't hear what I said? He doesn't do that. If God tells you, I'm going to take you through school, and you'll be a graduate, and you say, oh, glory to God. And maybe after 3 months, after God said that, God brought somebody into your life, the person began to pay your fees. And you are grateful to God. But then suddenly the person stopped. Or the person died. Or the person backed out. The person said, I'm no more doing. He said, hey, how will I now go to school? God did not think of that person when he made you that promise. Let me say this to you. When God makes you a promise, it's not about anybody. People just walk into what God has given you already. Did you hear what I said? If God tells you as a pastor that this church you're going to pastor thousands of people, and then the first 100 comes and suddenly all the 100 leave, God did not call their names when he said 1,000 people. So they have gone, but what God told you is still there. Are you guys following me? If he spoke to you about your finances, and suddenly after he finished speaking, in the man of God sharing a story, the guy was doing a good job. A good job, comfortable job. The man of God, pastor was now praying. Put hands on him. Kabarakatola. Greater job. Better finances. Increase. Explosion. He said amen. The next day he lost the job. I'm not joking. I mean the next day. Say amen. Imagine that happens to you. Like the next day. It's not a story I heard from far. A man of God I know closely. In fact, I'm talking about Apostle Phillips. Happened in his ministry. And Apostle Phillips has been here to minister to us. Same time he finished praying, he's done, he's well, da da da. And he lost the job. The brother in church lost the job. And came back the next day. Imagine if you're a pastor, you finish praying for someone today. The person that came the next day and said, Daddy, and you think we are going to hear a testimony, sir, God has done it. And I said, sir, they sacked me. Why? But they planned on sacking you before. No, they just came out and sacked me after you finished praying. But the guy knew what to do with that. But he told him, well, I'm fine. I've taken the word you gave yesterday. You know what happened? God already knew what Satan has worked out, that the guy will lose his job. So God brought that word ahead of time to prepare his heart for it. That's the truth. It wasn't the word that made him lose the job. Of course, the guy stayed jobless for some time. But he was just coming to church. He even gave him time to even give more time to church. He was not coming. After like a few months, 2-3 months, said his more money he has saved. At least he was chopping it. And he was now finishing. Do you know what happened? One day he got a job. Big, I'm telling you a real life story. That's why I have to call the man of God involved. He got a job. The company said, are you this person? He said, yes. They began to apologize to him. He said, I applied some months ago. You've actually been employed all the while. But for some reason, they didn't send you a letter. They didn't just employ this guy. They paid him arrears. I'm telling you, they paid him arrears for those months that they didn't reach out to him for. Are you following me? First of all, when God was saying you get a job, All he was thinking about was the job. But God had bigger plans. Had bigger plans. Glory to God. But you see, one thing you don't do is to murmur. Maya started murmuring and complaining. That promotion. Everything that I pray for us, praying for us. The more job I had that I was managing. Stop looking back. And I'm talking about an oil company that took him in. The small job I had that I was managing, they now took it. Prophecy. Did I need prophecy to get the job? Sure, I was doing the job peacefully for myself. You now came and prophesied upon my life, and I lost the job. Start moving. And I want to see somebody to tell someone, start moving. Deal with excuses. All the excuses as to why you've not started making progress, drop them. Oh, it's the past. Stop it. You had a bad start. Yeah, did not start well. Stop the excuses. It's because I don't have this yet. Stop. So I would have started this job even though that. Stop the excuses already. Because there will always be excuses. Always. I know what I believe. I've told you all the time. Excuses are good reasons for failure. Good reasons for failure. Just that there will never be a good reason why you failed. Stop the excuses. Deal with them. I would have done so well. It's just that, you know, if I was born into a good family, that is okay. It's time to start again. Well, I put it in my note, I said, you need to start again. Or at least continue. Keep moving. This is even the time to refocus. Cut off distractions. Get back to your commitments. Some of you, challenges have happened. You stopped your prayer life. Get back to them. So if you've got challenges, you've stopped being very diligent. Get back to your diligence. Get back on your feet. Move forward. You've stayed long enough on this mount. Move forward. Because there is hope for a tree. If it be cut down, it will sprout again. See the next verse. The tender branch therefore will not cease. Look at verse 8. Say it will not cease. Though the root thereof wax old in the earth, and the stalk thereof die in the ground. Verse 9, yet through the scent of water it will board and bring forth boughs like a plant. And so no matter what the devil has done in your past, or what has happened so far this year, God is about to do a new thing. Look ahead. Cut off distractions. He said, I had challenges, I stopped going to church. Pick up your spiritual life again. Stop all those thoughts. You stop praying, pick up yourself again. Get back on track. God started something already. God has started something already. Hallelujah. And I want to close by saying to you, in this season, trust in the power of God. Because many of us will have testimonies where the power of God and the supernatural came through for us. So trust the power of God. The God I'm talking about in 1 Samuel chapter 2 and verse 8. The God I'm talking about is the God that can lift someone. Oh, I love it. He said, he raised up the poor out of the dust and lifted up the beggar from the dunghill to set them among praises and to make them inherit the throne of glory. That's what God can do. So trust in his power. Trust in his power. Whatever has not worked in the past, I'm challenging you to work hard. But as you work hard, trust in his power. Something new is going to burst forth. Are you getting the point? As you step into the last quarter of this year, let this be a watchword for you. God is doing a new thing in my life. Better than everything that has happened in my past. So I'm going to trust this word. I'm going to trust this power. I'm going to faith it. Oh, glory. I'm going to faith it. I'm going to trust this power. If he can raise the ball out of the dust, then he can change my story in a single day. So I'm going to trust him. As a church, we are going to trust him. Whatever that has not been working, we are going to trust him. Are you guys following me this morning? We are going to trust him. We are going to trust him. Remember Isaiah, they told me Jeremiah 30 and verse 19. That scripture I love rejoicing to. Jeremiah 30 and verse 19. It said, out of them shall proceed thanksgiving, and the voice of them that make merry. He said, I will multiply them and they shall not be few. I will glorify them and they shall not be small. And let this be your watchword this season. He said, I will multiply you, you shall not be few. He said, I will glorify you, you shall not be small. So trust God this season. I will not be small. I'm not ending this year small. I'm ending this year bigger, stronger, and better. Bigger, stronger, and better. Bigger, stronger, and better. Better in my spiritual work. Better in my finances. Better in my health. You spent the whole year in the hospital. It's getting better from now. Out of them shall proceed thanksgiving. And the voice of them that make merry. We're going to make merry. Oh, I tell you, by Thanksgiving in December, we're going to make merry. We are going to dance. We're going to rejoice. Because it will be that God has done a new thing for us. September to December, expect new things. New things. New things. Mega, mega additions to the church. Mega additions to your finances. Additions to your health. Additions to your studies. Many of you are going to go with new zeal and new vigor. The business you wanted to start that you've been saying one of these days since January, it's now time. I said it's now time. Oh, you know why? Today is the tomorrow you talked about yesterday. You know, I always say that. Today is what? I said it to say one thing. Please kill procrastination. Except the Lord is asking you to wait a little. Don't waste time. Keep procrastination. I'm going to do that. It's time now. Start moving. You be saying, I'm going to be fine. It's time to now be fine. Are you guys following me? One day I'm going to heal from all of this. Well, let that one day be today. Trust the power of God. Ooh, the voice of them that make merry. The voice of them that make merry. We are in the company of them that make merry. Oh, you didn't hear that. I said, I am in the company of them that make merry. I am the company of them that dance for joy. I am in the company of them that shout for joy. You know why I always encourage you to shout and to dance? Because you've heard me say it all the time. It's been long I said that. The shouting side is the winning side. That's the truth. The shouting side is the winning. You see, people that lose don't shout. They only shout for sorrow. Losing makes you stay quiet. It makes you want to cover yourself in your blanket. But you get to the stadium, do for the shout, they start shouting that the people winning. Hallelujah. And even if you are playing in your home stadium, and if they are beating you 1-0, you can still shout. If they are beating you 7-0, suddenly the voice of the visiting fans will be louder than your own voice. Because you are losing. You know why I always shout? I don't lose. I tell you for free. And, you know, I don't believe there's an end. I call the end. And that end is when I have succeeded. And that's why I'm good. You say, you are done trying. I'm not done trying. Have I won? 6 times I'll try again. 7 times. The thing about the righteous man, he fails 7 times. He rises 7 times. He will go again 7 times. I get to the point. Oh, you know what else he says about this verse? He said, there will be joy and songs of thanksgiving. He said, I will multiply platform of grace and not diminish them. Let me try that again. I will multiply platform of grace and not diminish them. I will multiply your department and not diminish them. I will multiply your team and not diminish them. He said, I will multiply your cell and not diminish them. I will multiply your ministry and not diminish it. We are in the season of increase already. Woo, glory to God. He will multiply your company. He will multiply your business. Wider reach. Wider reach. A wider reach. A wider reach. Wider spread. He said, I will honor them. I will not despise them. Put up Amplify Classic. Amplify Classic. Oh, glory to God. Out of them, city and palace will come songs of thanksgiving and the voices of those who make merry, and I will multiply them and they will not be few. I will also glorify them, they will not be small. Of course, you know you love the message of this translation. Thanksgivings will pour out of the windows, laughter will spill through the doors. Oh, can I say that again? Thanksgiving will pour out of the windows, laughter will spill through the doors. Why? This will get better and better. That's why I told you we are in the mode of better things. Things will get better and better. You know what I like? He said depression days are over. Come on, do like this. Do like this. Shake yourself off. Shake off depression. Shake it off. Shake it off. Shake off the sadness. Shake off the sadness. Shake off the failure. Glory. Listen to me. Let us shake off depression. Shake off the sadness. Shake off the tears. Shake off the failures. Shake off the disappointments. Shake it off. Depression days are over. Oh, the days of me covering myself in my blankets and crying are over. While you are crying in the room, people are making money outside. Stand up. Are you getting the point? You know, while you are crying over a heartbreak, people are getting married outside. Get up. I said, get up. You did missions last week. You didn't have many souls saved. And you are discouraged. Shake it off. He said, depression is over. They will thrive. They will flourish. The days of contempt will be over. Glory to God. Days of contempt are over. I'll give you one last scripture and I'll pray with you shortly. Job 8 verse 7. The way the Lord gave it to me. Job 8 and verse 7. Hallelujah. Oh. And I'm going to leave you with this verse. This will be your testimony this year. Though thy beginning was small, though this year did not start well, are you following me? Though things are not looking good now, but there's a letter end, and your letter end will greatly increase. Your letter end shall greatly increase. Oh, glory to God. You know the way NLT put it? And they say, though you started with little, you will end with much. Preach that to three people by your side. Tell them, though you started with little, you will end with much. Preach that to three persons around you. Though you started with little, you will end with much. You will end with much. I'm ending this year with much. I'm ending this year with much. God is doing a new thing in my life. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory to God. Woo, glory. Put up like message. Message is very simple. Even though you are not much right now, you will end up better than ever. This is my confidence, not only for this year, but this is my confidence in life. Let me tell you, I know I can't end small. It's not just my prayer. I know my name. At least better than I know my name. I can't end small. If you look at my life and where I am today, I know where I was 10 years ago. You self, you know I can't end small. Because even you did not now get to where I am today. You see, God, I've shocked you. I'm not going to end small. Even though I'm not much right now. No much finances yet. Nothing to write home about yet. But I'm going to end up better than ever. I'm going to end up better than ever. Look at my ministry today. Laugh at us today. Call us a mushroom ministry today. Call us where two or three are gathered today. But give us 5 years. Give us 10 years. Give us 15 years. It should be from one nation to another. From one nation to another. Though we are not much right now, but we are ending better than ever. Woo. Yes, I tried to pray for the sick the last time, and they disgraced me and my forefathers. It's okay. It's fine. Yeah. It's fine. I went to preach to somebody last week and I was stammering. You know Jesus. It's okay. I'm not up to much right now. There's nothing much about me right now. They were giving in church. People were giving 3 million, 5 million. And I told you guys that story. I went to a meeting and they were giving. A man of God started from 10 million. He did 10. People came out. For real. And they came out with checks. They didn't write a piece of check. The man called 5 million. People came out. People. That one didn't pay me because they're old people. 3 million, then 1 million. From 1 million, I became uncomfortable. I saw young boys. And they are not doing Yahoo. No. It's not Yahoo. Some of them are from rich homes. Fatherhood is a leverage. Your family background is a very big leverage and can be a limitation. I'm just saying. So these guys, they will come out. Wait, the man now said 500,000. And now said, I'll stop here. Everyone now started shouting, no, sir, go. He now said 200 and did 100. That 100 won't pay me. At the time, I was always sitting on my row. Because it's that same program I told people that I fought so hard to go and sit still, stay in front. So I looked, everybody has gone. And I wasn't sure if I was going to transport myself back home. But God saw my heart. I wanted to give. But you know, this scripture was just, even though I'm not much right now, even like giving now. But one day, I'll be able to give 1 million. 10 million, 100 million. I'm not thinking of gathering money to waste it on foolish things. One day I will look at the church and donate 10 buses to them for free. One day I will look at a center and say, I'm raising your structure. Give me your plan. It wasn't much then. It was that program. After the man hit 100, I said, I'm not going down again. Everybody read him notes, sir, please. He said, okay, if you have any other thing, come and drop it on the stage. Any other thing. So some will drop 90, some will drop 70, some will drop 10. I looked at what I had. Thank God he said it's anything. I went after, I wanted to go again. My sister went and dropped her own too. I was coming back and tapped me and said, Papa, it was my transport fare I kept. So don't go and keep your own now. We're going to trek. That's why I didn't go, because people have trek. I would have been testifying, you know, I used to trek from Enugu to Nsukka before. We would have trekked home that day. It was everything. Even though that's where you are now, the only bad thing is if you end like this. And if you know you will end like this, then don't sit down mourning your past failures. Stand up from there. They push you from one company, go to the next one. You try to learn this skill, it's not skilling. Learn another one. Just add something. Are you guys following me? Don't end like this. Are you getting me? You have a bad background. Don't keep your back on the ground. Your background was bad. Okay, so your back should not be on the ground. Get off from there. Are you guys following what I'm saying? I challenge you. Every aspect of my life, it's time to make progress. Go forward. We started from in Enugu here. In a place. A hall that I was taller than. Okay, I wasn't taller than it. It was just slightly taller than me, but when I was taller than it. Then we just, very terrible hall. Did he have window? I had one window. Small thing like that. And we're not even feeling it. We'll still use cutting and cover somewhere. Because behind, another ministry was using behind, so we'll cover. Yeah, that was just a few years ago. Not long ago. No instruments, no seats, nothing. And I wanted to say no future. You know, somebody told me, somebody drove past one of our centers, our Obolo church, and wrote me and said, I saw your center, one of your centers in Obolo. I said, oh yeah, glory to God. He said, I have a confession to make. He said, where you guys are in Abani? He said, I used to laugh at you people. But I don't blame him, because we were laughable. You should laugh at us then. Bush everywhere. Then you find about 4 or 5 people inside that place doing church. Mushroom church. So he said, I'm not angry with you. He said, I also passed your center in 6th Avenue. That's this one. So I saw you guys' church. He said, See me, you guys. That I said, yes, that's where we are now. No, I said that's where we are, but we are just, we've not even started. He said, for real, you've not started, because from where you are coming from, you've not started. So I used to laugh at you guys then. And for real, I know they used to laugh. When people laugh at you, don't get angry. Are you moving? That's the important thing. You go to pray for the sick and you disgrace yourself. Are you moving? You pray, nothing happened. You go back and soak yourself again. More teachings, more knowledge, more prayer time, you return. Hallelujah. If this one did not work, the next one will work. Don't end here. Hallelujah. Now your result is not looking good. You are looking at it, it's looking, it's just looking like EEDC. Glory to God. Power company, nothing wrong, just EEDC. EEDC, EEDC. That's all. And the C is one unit load. And then, now it's okay if that's what your result is now. But where are you going to go from here now? That's the question I want to leave you with. This is everything that has happened. Where are you going to go from here now? God wants to do a new thing. Will you cooperate with Him? I know you're not up to much now, but then, will you cooperate with God from here? From here. I get to the point. There will be a change. God is set. God has started. But I need people that will approach these next 4 months and even the rest of their lives with much vigor, with much energy, expecting new things. Let these words fire you up. Let these words fire up a new ray of hope. Let it stir up a fresh air of expectations, of faith. Let it cause you to believe again and to go again. Because even though you are not much now, in 1 month's time, in 3 months' time, in 4 months' time, progress would have started. Oh, and at the end of your life, you will tell your kids, Job 8:7 is my story. There was a time I was not anything, but I just kept trusting. I just kept moving. I just kept moving. Oh, glory to God. I'll tell you one sign that your life will be better is that by December you have more than what you have today. But that will just be a sign that the end of life will be better than the beginning of your life. Oh, the Bible says better is the end of a thing than the beginning of it. So I don't care how the beginning was, but the end is going to be better. God is about to do a new thing. And you have a part in it. I say you have a part in it. So I want to close by asking you, what are you expecting? What better thing are you expecting? I'll give you 5 minutes to pray. Then we'll flag off so and we close. What better thing are you expecting? What better job are you expecting? It's time to put those on your lips and pray like your life depends on it. If you are still sitting, you should be upstanding now. Whoosh. I won't challenge you. Just pray. Some of us are taking it personal. What better thing do you see? It's time to speak them forth. Forget the past. What do you see now? 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 We are in that season that God is doing a new thing. What do you see now? What do you see now?
Egalabarate kura mazontra deha. Ila susura patian de la kadebo shira agelebedesh. What do you see? What do you see? Just pray. What do you see? Pray it into reality. God is doing a new thing. What do you see? What do you see? What do you see? Ekalabrete karabataya. I see your health taking off better now. What do you see? I see your finance starting off on a new leaf. What do you see? I see your relationship getting redefined and better. What do you see? I see your spiritual life on a whole new pedestal. What do you see? What do you see? Ekamenda le marona de la madela makola baya elemana koraba haya baradash. Woo! Ali do 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 kayash. Have some time, oh, pray. You have some time, oh. I abandon the bush, that I'm a bacarada. Woo! Ekelemo da kaya. Yeah, pray like that. God will turn things around. From nothing to something. From little to much. From little to much. Depression days are over. I'd like you to begin to arrest the next 4 months of the year. And speak forth what is happening for you in these next 4 months. What is happening for you in these next 4 months? In these next 4 months. In these next 4 months. In these next 4 months. God is doing a new thing. He's reordering things around you. You are the number one prophet of your life in this service. So speak over your life. Speak over your life. Elemandeko, Perege Bete. Ayayaya, Pekona. The next 4 months are better days. Better days. We will get the job we prayed for. We'll get the supply we prayed for. We'll win the souls we prayed for. We'll reach the nations we prayed for. In the name of Jesus. The things you are waiting for, they are here now. The things you are waiting for, they are here now. The things you are waiting for are coming to pass now. In the name of Jesus.
May the next 4 months for you be months of walking into your desired expectations. I want to say that again. The next 4 months for you shall be months of walking into your desired expectations in the name of Jesus. May what has failed begin to work now. May what has failed before begin to work now. May what has not been working begin to work now. In the name of Jesus. And over your life, I minister strength. I minister fresh strength, fresh vigor, fresh fire, fresh enthusiasm, fresh zeal to go again in the name of Jesus. You are going again now with renewed fervency, renewed strength, renewed strength, renewed strength in the name of Jesus. Receive grace to move ahead. Woo! Grace to move ahead. Grace to move ahead in the name of Jesus. The coming days are better than the days that have gone. And in the next 4 months, God is doing more in the next 4 months than everything Satan has done in the past 8 months. I want to say that again. God is doing more in the next 4 months than all the devil has done in the past 8 months. In the name of Jesus. May your expectations now become your reality. Oh, you didn't hear that? May your expectations now become your reality. May your imaginations now become your reality. May your hope now become your reality. May the things you hope for now become the things you own today. In the name of Jesus. Doors are open now. Doors are open now. New things are happening now. And over all our church families, all our church family, across every center, I speak forth increase. I speak forth increase. I speak forth increase. Now, it's coming in threefold. Increase of men saved. That is more men saved. It's coming also as increase of more men trained, more men discipled, and increase of resources. In the name of Jesus.
For more information, inquiry, or prayer request, please visit our website at www.henryonyedikachi.com.